that may not know me, my name is Pastor Dave Galpin. I serve your brothers and sisters at Foundation Lutheran Church in Folsom, just down the road. As always, it is a joy and a privilege to worship our Savior God with you and to be fed by his life-giving words. The order of service that will serve as the pattern for our worship tonight is in the service folder. The theme for our service tonight is really a theme that focuses on the promises of God. As Christians, we are people of promise. We build our lives and we stake our eternal future on the promises of God. And today, we get to worship that God who makes amazing promises, but also keeps every single one of those amazing promises. We'll then begin our worship with on page 3 of your service folder. Please rise. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
We worship tonight in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues for all generations.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our first reading for this evening is recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 8. We'll read verses 18 through 22. In the midst of worldwide rebellion, and knowing full well of future rebellion, God's grace still wins the day. Here we see in a reading of God speaking to Noah, talking to Noah and giving a sign of a rainbow in the sky. He promises that he will continue to care for his creation, and in so doing, preserves the promise of a Savior made in Eden. We read from Genesis chapter 8. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise his holy name.
And yet, what do we need to admit takes place even with such reminders?
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Friends, everything you are and everything you have and everything that you will be is a gift from the God of all grace. A reading from James chapter 1. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise his holy name.
This leads to the following statement regarding the faith we have in God.
I believe that God created me and all that exists, and that he gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my mind and all my abilities. And I believe that God still preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, property and home, spouse and children, land, cattle, and all I own, and all I need to keep my body and life. God also preserves me by defending me against all danger, guarding and protecting me from all evil. All this God does only because he is my good and merciful Father in heaven, and not because I have earned or deserved it. For all this I ought to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
A heart touched by God's grace leads to a life lived in thanks. A reading from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise His holy name.
Grace and peace are yours in rich abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed. The portion of God's word that will serve as the focus of our time for the next few moments is recorded in Habakkuk chapter 3. There we'll read verses 17 through 19. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." This is the word of our God. Of all the hours of television that you have ever watched, if you would combine all of the Thanksgiving episodes into one scene, it would probably look something like this. There would be a father or a grandfather sitting at the head of a long rectangular table. And then there would be family members seated all around that table and more than enough food on that table to feed every single one of them for over 10 Thanksgivings. And then the camera would zoom in on the one at the head of the table. And he would put his elbows on the edge of the table and look out over folded, clasped hands and say something along the lines of, "Once again, we have much for which to be thankful this year." I wonder if in the average American household, in the households that are represented here tonight, I wonder if there might be more than a few tables this year that have a few less reasons to be giving thanks. It's been rough, hasn't it? If maybe a loved one has gone from the church militant to the church triumphant, and that certain place at the table won't be filled this year, well, then words of thanksgiving might take a little bit of different tone this year, maybe even a somber tone. And then there's the stress of schedules, right? The mental fatigue of the fast-paced life that we live. And then there's the emotional fatigue of challenging relationships. There's the pressure that we feel from expectations and obligations, whether they're real or they're just perceived. Economic issues and income issues relative to the economy maybe haven't made things so bad that spam is on the table instead of turkey, but more than a few are feeling the pinch. I still wonder though that if our country were decimated by war, if we were conquered by hostile forces, what kind of a national thanksgiving, or even what kind of a Christian thanksgiving would we see? Well, the strong word from God before us this evening, it tells us that thanksgiving is not at all to be determined by how many things that we can think of to be thankful for. No, before us today, in what might be the not-so-well-known writings of the prophet Habakkuk, is a reminder that there is always sufficient cause for thanksgiving. Tonight, Habakkuk clearly reminds us of this truth, that salvation itself is reason enough for giving thanks. At this point in time, at the time of our reading, God was fed up with Judah. That was where Habakkuk lived. So much so that he was going to use a foreign country in the northeast, Babylon, as a scourge in his hand to punish his impenitent people. And Habakkuk, one of the relatively few believers that was still left in the land, he was going to suffer along with all the rest. And it wasn't going to be easy. So I want to pose to you a few questions based on what Habakkuk said, the words that I read. And I want you to consider these questions for yourself. Could I be joyful and thankful if there was no food on the table tomorrow and no gifts under the tree a month from now? Could I be joyful and thankful if there was no job and no unemployment compensation, no financial cushion to fall back on, and really no prospect of ever being hired again? Could I be joyful and thankful if the house was gone and all I owned was destroyed? Could I be joyful and thankful if I was a prisoner of war? That gloomy, downward, spiraling progression is exactly what God said was going to happen to Habakkuk and his people. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like those questions at all. I don't like them because they're unpleasantly probing and convicting and condemning. They're probing because I have to admit that I have been ungrateful in times of plenty. They're convicting because I realize that the lack and the absence of joy and thanks in my life is in large part due to the presence of discontent and greed. And they are condemning questions because I have to recognize that my thoughts and my words and my behavior have betrayed a heart that far too often thinks that Jesus rescuing me from hell isn't all that much for which to be thankful for. Is it possible? Is it possible that the words of the prophet put us to shame? That in the face of having far less in the pantry than we have, he was far more thankful than we have ever been. And Habakkuk knew all these words that he was saying to the people. He knew that they were all going to come true. By God's divine revelation, God had told him they would come true. And Habakkuk knew that there was a time in the future, the relatively soon future, where he would have nothing. And yet, knowing all of that, he finishes his message with this slam dunk finish. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. Jesus described hell. Do you know how Jesus described hell? He described it as outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Paul described hell as being shut out of the presence of God forever. All of Scripture says that we have earned that. And yet, the whole reason that God had this book written down and preserved for you was to inform you that while he was being crucified, the Holy Jesus suffered hell for you. To tell you that you've been spared of the torment that you and I have earned for ourselves, that we have been counted and declared not guilty because Jesus was declared guilty of all of our sins and suffered our hell in our place. In a word, the Bible calls that salvation. And salvation, friends, is sufficient cause for thanksgiving. It's reason enough for giving thanks over all things, because salvation, friends, deliverance from hell and everything that we deserve, deliverance, salvation from that is everything. Sometimes people who are struggling with maybe an outlook on life or feeling down or discouraged, sometimes they're encouraged to make a list of all the blessings that they have and all the reasons for which to be thankful. That can be a good thing, especially when you're a person that's maybe in the midst of the burdensome and you've lost sight of the blessings. But Habakkuk tonight has reminded all of us that it really doesn't matter how long of a list that you can make relative to the people around you, and it doesn't really matter how long it takes you to even make that list. Tonight we've learned again that to have a heart that is filled with joy and lips that speak and shout out thanks to the Lord, it is enough to know one thing. Jesus suffered hell in my place so that I would never have to. Jesus suffered hell in my place so that I would never have to, even if everything else were gone. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. I'll admit, I am not the best hunter that has ever walked the face of this earth. To be perfectly honest, I've only gone a couple of times. But I have seen quite a few deer in their natural habitat. And for all the deer that I have seen in their natural habitat, I have yet to see one that has tripped. Now, I know that it's possible, and I know that they probably have before, but I have yet to hear a hunter say, "Well, you know, I finally got that guy because he tripped when he was trying to get away." Because it is swift and sure-footed, a running deer is a beautiful example of how God helps you. His strength puts a spring in your step, and his power makes it so that troubles won't trip you up. In other words, friends, you're not alone. Living the joyful, thankful Christian life is not all on you. Christ himself supplies the strength. There's real strength from God to be joyful and thankful, whatever your circumstances are. Remember what Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi? Remember what he wrote under himself in difficult circumstances? He said, "I have learned the secret to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." The secret that Paul learned to be content no matter what his circumstances was that Christ, his Savior, was also Christ, his strength. Habakkuk seems to have learned that secret too. And tonight, friends, you and I are all invited to learn again that secret, so that tomorrow can be the best ever Thanksgiving. Jesus saved me from going to hell, and he will strengthen me as I travel toward heaven. Thanks be to God. I don't know the circumstances under which you're going to be observing Thanksgiving tonight or tomorrow. I don't know if you're going to be observing Thanksgiving with a heart filled with grief or a heart completely free of grief. I don't know if you're feeling great or you feel like you're on the verge of becoming unglued. Are you in good health, or would you not know good health if it came up and slapped you across the face? Are you feeling well rested, or are you just flat out exhausted? I don't know. But you and I have learned tonight that circumstances do not generate thanksgiving. Jesus does. Jesus saved me from going to hell, and he will strengthen me as I travel toward heaven. Thanks be to God. So tonight and tomorrow, when you take inventory of this year and you compare this year relative to how other years have gone, remember this. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Whatever your circumstances, Jesus has saved you from going to hell, and he will strengthen you as you travel toward heaven. Give thanks to God for salvation, and then for everything else. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that peace will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll sing the printed hymn. Please stand for prayer. Lord of heaven and earth, you made all things beautiful. You have provided green forests and refreshing streams. You have arranged the orderly procession of day and night for our work and rest.
Thank you for the mountains and the prairies, the roaring sea and the gentle breeze.
Thank you for the roofs that shelter us, for clothing that protects us, and for food and drink. Thank you for our work, for projects that are well done, and for the approval of supervisors and teachers. Thank you for all who serve at night to make our days more pleasant.
Thank you for our associates at work, for their encouragement and praise, and for the joys of human freshness.
Thank you for our cities and our countrysides, for farms and factories, for streets and highways, and for all of life that flows so swiftly before us.
Thank you for children at play, their boundless energy, and their shouts of joy and laughter.
Thank you for the morning greetings we receive, and for all the smiles that come from faces loved by you.
Thank you for Christian parents, for their affection and their care.
Hear us now, Lord, as we give thanks for personal blessings. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his coming to us in word and sacraments, for his giving and forgiving, and for listening to our prayers. Receive our gifts and offerings as our sacrifice of praise.
Lead us in thankful living today and always. Amen.
We also pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Good evening once again. I will gift the remaining 15 minutes to Pastor Colander that he can use this Sunday for Sunday worship if he wants to go a little longer. So you paid for the full hour rather than giving you a cash back for the next 15 minutes. I'll gift it to Pastor Colander. It is, as I said earlier, an absolute joy to be with you. You are good people and you serve a great God. And I like to be among you as we do that together. I don't really have any special announcements other than to wish all of you, from myself, from your brothers and sisters at Foundation, and I'm sure from all of your brothers and sisters here, a very blessed and Christ-centered Thanksgiving. God bless you as you enjoy time together with whomever you will. I believe I will walk down here and shake hands. Are we doing that again now? We don't have an aisle at Foundation, so I'm not sure. But I will do that.